I don't know if this church has begun its season of stewardship emphasis, but the lectionary has presented us with a story about stewardship. The stories the Gospels record show us the deep concern Jesus had about money. Once, a long time ago, in another church during stewardship season, a man asked me why we preached about money so much. And I said, because Jesus talks about money so much. Most of the stories that relate to money stress the virtues of generosity, financial responsibility, and generally speaking, good stewardship. Today, we read a story that sounds like the virtues being commended are those of a crook and a shyster. Can it really be true that Jesus commends dishonest dealings? Surely there is some mistake. Maybe this is like the old joke about mistranslation in the Bible. You know the one I'm thinking about. It's about the Pope. He comes upstairs from the basement. The discovery has been made of the original manuscript of the Bible. The Pope has gone downstairs to read the original, and as he's plodding up the steps, he's mumbling to himself, "Celebrate, celebrate." Well, maybe you don't have many Catholic priest friends. So the story about this dishonest manager, surely it's a scribal error. The manager wastes his boss's money. He cuts deals with those who owe debts to his boss at the expense of his boss. And at the end, the boss praises the manager for his dishonest management. This just can't be true. There must be some mistake. Plus, the sayings tacked on after the story praise the honest servant who warns of those who are dishonest. And the final saying is, you can't serve God and wealth. So when I'm reading along in Luke, I see all of these stories about the threat of money, the need for honesty and responsibility in dealing with money and each other. And then I read about this dishonest manager being praised for his shrewdness. The bells and the whistles start going off in my head. The red flags are waving. This story gets my attention. Something is different. And what gets my attention is the outrageousness of Jesus' commendations of dishonesty. You know that the original manuscript did not have titles inserted before the stories, and in fact, there weren't chapter and verse distinctions. So, I will go way out on a limb and suggest that we rename this story. Instead of referring to it as the dishonest manager, let's call it the outrageous savior. So let's take a closer look at this story. Even if you did not hear the Luke lectionary readings this summer of Luke's on-the-road stories about Jesus and the disciples, you probably know that context is very important for Luke. Just a little while ago, Jesus told a story about a man who went to his neighbor late at night asking for bread for an unexpected house guest. Well, the turning point in that story is when Jesus says, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give?" this how much more comparison appears again when the manager understands something that the children of light have difficulty understanding. Whether or not the manager is really dishonest, this person understands how to use what is entrusted to him to serve a larger goal. How much more, then, must the children of God understand the riches entrusted to them? A long time before Jesus, some believe that a man named Solomon said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The parable of the manager speaks particularly to Christians who have lost their vision. Who are the people of God? What have we been called to do? When we have no idea of where we are going, the treasures in front of us are really not treasures anymore. They are simply things, things that have no larger value beyond our need for having them. These things too easily become objects to be used, misused, and manipulated. Now, there is no introduction to this story that tells us plainly that the Pharisees are present, but we know they are. They're always close. And who are the Pharisees? They are leaders of the chosen people, keepers of the treasures of God. The Pharisees had become like the dishonest manager. They had lost their vision of who God had called them to be. Rather than being God's people, they had become servants of the treasures of the day. They were controlled by their wealth. They were complacent. They had blended into the society. As the children of God, I believe we are called to be God's children and therefore to be the children of light. As such, we are not only entrusted with the vision of the kingdom of God, we are given the treasures of the King. Even in this present age, with the imperfect treasures of this world, we are called to be God's servants. We are called to be God's stewards. However we use what we are given, we are called to use these gifts in light of our relationship with God. The parable warns us that the children have lost their perspective on who God is and who we are in relationship to God. It's too easy for us to separate our lives as they are now from the life in the future kingdom. Can you remember that only about 5 months ago, we all shouted together, "He is risen!" But now, we're whispering our faith, not quite sure we really believe. How is it that we have stopped living for Christ? Do we really believe that Jesus died and was resurrected and life is new because of it? Somewhere along our journey, it became easy for us to serve all of those pressing needs of people, schedules, and money. We have stopped listening to God's voice and instead listen to the voices that shout, "You can do it. Winner takes all." Somewhere along the way, we began to believe that the challenges were bigger than the answers. And so we huddle together like frightened sheep, hoping that we can save whatever is left over, and we forget about living for something much greater than ourselves. We hold our treasures in our tightly clenched fists. We are the children of light that Jesus is addressing in this parable. We have lost our vision for God. This parable calls us to reclaim who we are and whose we are. Listen for God's call to renew our vision today for the kingdom of God that is just beyond us, but also among us. In this story, Jesus does not really commend this manager for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness. But it is still outrageous. Why would a nice person like Jesus tell this story to nice people like us? I think I know, and deep down inside, you know, we are really not such nice people. Look around you. Do you see any thieves? We're probably not stealing from the boss, but we have other issues. Why does Jesus tell this story? Because he is the Savior who is willing to die hanging on a cross between two thieves. It takes an outrageous Savior to see anything lovable, anything redeemable in a crook like the man in the parable. If that's true, we can all give thanks to God for a Savior who can see something lovable and redeemable in people like us. Jesus delights in telling this outrageous story that offends our sensibilities. Jesus is talking about a dirty, rotten scoundrel to a bunch of religious church people to show that we are not as good as we wish we were. And maybe to remind us that's okay, because Jesus did not come to save good people. The great good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to save sinners like you and like me. Amen.